Hi friends, happy Father's Day. Going to speak to you today about what to do when your child is in the grip of evil. It was a quiet evening one night when I was pastor and I was just setting in to relax and have a nice refreshing evening when all of a sudden there was this frantic pounding at my door and I hurried to the door and there was a man who was absolutely stressed out, and he said, "I need to become a Christian." Well, that was the easiest evangelism I ever did, but what had driven this man to this place was that he had been tormented by dark spirits. And so we dealt with that night, and he was set free, and he has gone on to walk with God as best he can through the years. But what was another aspect of the story is that his son in his own home was being tormented by evil. His son was in the grip of evil. What do you do when your child is in the grip of evil? I'm going to read a text from Mark chapter 9, verses 14 to 30. And it's a story about how Jesus helped a father whose child was in the grip of evil. So read with me in Mark chapter 9. When they came to the other disciples, they saw a large crowd around them and the teachers of the law arguing with them. As soon as the people saw Jesus, they were overwhelmed with wonder and ran to greet him. "What are you arguing with them about?" he asked. A man in the crowd answered, "Teacher, I brought you my son, who is possessed by a spirit that has robbed him of his speech. Whenever it seizes him, it throws him to the ground. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. I asked your disciples to drive out the spirit, but they could not." "You unbelieving generation," Jesus replied, "how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy to me." So they brought him, and when the spirit saw Jesus, it immediately threw the boy into a convulsion. He fell to the ground and rolled around, foaming at the mouth. Jesus asked the boy's father, "How long has he been like this?" "From childhood," he answered. "It has thrown him often into the fire or water to kill him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us." "If you can," Jesus said, "everything is possible to the one who believes." Immediately the boy's father exclaimed, "I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief." When Jesus saw the crowd was running to the scene, he rebuked the impure spirit. "You deaf and mute spirit," he said, "I command you, come out of him and never enter him again." The spirit shrieked, convulsed him violently, and came out. The boy looked so much like a corpse that many said, "He's dead." But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up to his feet, and he stood up. After Jesus had gone indoors, his disciples asked him privately, "Why couldn't we drive it out?" He replied, "This kind can only come out by prayer." This father had a son who was in the grip of evil. And I just want to make some short observations about this that will help you as dads should you have a child in this situation. The first observation is this: sometimes children can be controlled by evil. The control of the evil one really takes place in two ways in our children's life. One is overtly, like in this situation, and I'll discuss the second one in a moment, but let's talk about this one first of all. This spirit would grab the boy, throw him to the ground, throw him in the fire, throw him in the water. It was a vivid account of the power of this demonic spirit. And so it took control of the boy, it seized him, it dominated him. And it was destructive in its purpose, it was trying to kill him. Over the years, I've been involved in helping teenagers. Parents bring their teenagers to me, and their teenagers are struggling with suicidal thoughts that they just can't get rid of. Well, in some cases, it has been overt demonic activity which is trying to drive this child to take their life. And so it resulted in troubling behaviors with this boy, rolling around in the dirt, foaming at the mouth. All kinds of terrible things were happening because this child was in the grip of this dark spirit. There are, as I mentioned, two ways our children can be controlled by evil. The second way is simply through strongholds in the mind, ways of thinking that our child has taken on and believed, and these ways of thinking dominate their life and control their behavior and their choices. Scripture calls that a stronghold. A stronghold is a way of thinking that just prevents anything else from coming in and making positive change. The Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians 10, verses 3 to 5, though we walk in the flesh, we are not waging war against the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God. So sometimes our children are controlled by arguments in their mind, strongholds, things they believe that stand them up against the ways of God and hold them captive in that way. So strongholds can get implanted in our child's thinking, often without us even knowing them. And these strongholds can cause deep self-doubt, self-loathing, can keep your child in perpetual defeat, can keep them making decisions that are destructive to them. Once a young lady in our church came to talk to me, and I thought she would be the last person to ever have this struggle, but she said she struggled with suicidal thoughts. So this girl had everything going for her. And so we talked about it and found out that when she was quite a bit younger, her brother had one day called her Miss Piggy, you know, that character from The Muppets. And it developed a perception and a belief about herself where she started to just doubt who she was and see herself as unattractive and so on. And suicidal thoughts came in, and these suicidal thoughts kept hitting her and hitting her and hitting her. Well, it was through prayer that she was set free, but it was a stronghold that was controlling her thinking and even driving her to the place to consider taking her life. The reality is, whether we're in the presence of a dominating dark spirit in our child's life or whether it's a stronghold, the results are often the same. And so there's troubling behavior, destructive behavior, restrictive behavior that keeps them from going into the purposes of God and what is best for them as a creation of God. Well, we note the powerlessness of the father. He couldn't do anything about it. He was just looking for help wherever he could find it. We as dad are fixers. We like to fix things for our children. But this son had a problem that he could not fix. And some of you may have children whose problem you cannot fix. And he had been struggling with this problem since the child was young. And it just seemed to be getting worse and worse. A few years ago, my heart was deeply moved by a story of a lady named Kate Steinle who was walking with her father on the pier in San Francisco. And someone fired off a gun and inadvertently the bullet struck her. And she basically was there on the pier bleeding to death, and her dad, who she had a sweet relationship with, was there with her, and he was holding her, and she kept saying, "Daddy, help me, Daddy, help me." My heart was moved by that, because our children sometimes cry out, "Daddy, help us." They may not say it in those words, but they're looking for help. And I wonder how often this boy, who was tormented by the spirit, said, "Daddy, help me, Daddy, help me." But his father was powerless. His father couldn't do anything about it. And so sometimes, like the father, we feel powerless. The second observation I want to make is that there are people who should be able to help but cannot. This father wanting Jesus to help him wasn't able to find Christ right off, and so he took him to his 9 disciples, who he found, and they couldn't help, but they should have been able to. Actually, if you look a few chapters early in Mark chapter 6, you see that they had been given authority over demonic spirits. And they had also gone out, and they had a past where they had successfully dealt with demonic spirits. You see that in chapter 6, verse 12 and 13. They went out and preached that people should repent. They drove out many demons and anointed many sick people with oil and healed them. So though they had the authority to do something, though they had a track record of bringing help to these kinds of situations. In this case, they were powerless. They couldn't do it. Yes, they were battling in the right spot. They knew that what they were dealing with, but they could not fulfill this father's request to have their boy, his boy, delivered. And so the dark spirit was getting the better of them, and it was a ministry disaster that day, and all kinds of conflict came out. It was just a really bad day for these nine disciples. And so I do want to say to you, dads, you probably at some point have tried to get your child to someone who could help, who should be able to help, but they've not been able to help. I want to say to you, if you've asked others for help but they couldn't, it doesn't mean that there is no help available. There is help available. As this story unfolds, we see where the help comes from. So the good news is that Jesus has authority to set your child free. And you see that in verses 25 to 27, he commands the spirit and the spirit leaves. Jesus has the authority to deliver, to protect, to raise up your children so that they can live in freedom in Christ. There are many lessons in this story. I'm just going to highlight two of them for you. The first one is this: it doesn't matter how powerful the evil is that grips your child, Jesus has greater authority. Now, in this text, we are given a vivid account of this demonic spirit's activity. I think it's the longest one in Scripture. And I think that's for a reason, simply because the Lord is teaching us that this was a very powerful spirit, more powerful than a lot of others. Yet, this most powerful spirit had to obey the authority of Christ. And some of you are thinking, this is just too powerful, there's no help. I want you to know that there is no power greater than Jesus Christ. He has authority. And also I want to say, it doesn't matter the cause of evil. Many people who work in the field of deliverance, and I've done this as well, I try to find where the entrance was gained. Now, what was the key to opening the door to this spirit's influence? And when that is dealt with, then a lot of the power is left. Well, we see none of that going on here. Jesus, just in authority, just said, you're gone, and it was gone. He has a power to overcome. When I was a pastor, a young man who was in high school came with his dad one day and said that whenever he entered the high school, his mind filled with blasphemous thoughts, just horrible blasphemous thoughts that he did not want. And it would just dominate and control his mind. And so he came for prayer, and we joined as elders and prayed for him. And then he went his way, and I never saw him never had a chance to talk to him about this until years later. And one day he dropped by my office, and I said, so what happened after we prayed? And he said, those voices were gone. They were gone. Just in answer to the prayer of the elders that day. We don't know what opened the door to that happening in his life. We don't know what the forces were doing. But we do know that in the authority of Jesus' name, that was broken and he was set free. As fathers, we tend to categorize the struggles of our children into three categories. One is easy to deal with, one is hard to deal with, and one is impossible to deal with. I want you to know that with our Lord Jesus, there are no such categories. There is no evil that is a match for him. The question then becomes, if Jesus has all authority, how can we as fathers bring his authority into our child's life? And the fourth observation is simply this: prayer invites the authority of Jesus to break the grip of evil. It says in verse 28, when he came into the house, his disciples began questioning him privately. Why could we not drive it out? And he said to them, this kind cannot come out by anything but prayer. Some translations include the word fasting. The point is, difficult evils are driven out by prayer. The unfulfilled commission of the nine disciples stemmed from a failure in the area of prayer. This kind can only come out by prayer. The demon would have been long gone if they had given themselves to believing prayer. And so prayer invites the authority of Christ to be unleashed against invisible spiritual forces. One person wrote, "The main lesson of this miracle is the power of faith to overcome the enemy." Why had the nine disciples failed? Because they had been careless in their personal spiritual walk and had neglected prayer and fasting. The authority that Jesus had given them was effective only if exercised by faith. But faith must be cultivated through spiritual discipline and devotion. It may have been that in the absence of their Lord, or his taking the three disciples with him and leaving them behind, had dampened their spiritual fervor and diminished their faith. Not only did the failure embarrass them, but it robbed the Lord of his glory. This was comments by Craig Keener. You see, he's saying prayer invites the authority of Christ to be released into our children's lives. Francis Chan wrote this, well, in an interview with Leadership Journal, told this story. He said, "I cannot make someone fall in love with Jesus. It really came home to me literally with my own teenage daughter, who 18 months ago was not in love with Jesus. I spent nights crying, bawling, praying to the Lord. Here I am known for my ability to communicate, but there was nothing I could do for my own daughter that would make her fall in love with Jesus. Of course, I could guide her and lead her, but I was powerless to convict her. I prayed, 'God, either your spirit comes into her or your spirit doesn't. It doesn't matter how great a dad I am, I cannot bring life to her.' One day, she came into my room and said, 'You were right, Dad. The Holy Spirit was not in me, but he is now.' She talked about how near she was to God and how everything had changed. My wife and I were skeptical. We wanted to see evidence of change, but 18 months later, I can say she was really a new creation. I didn't do that. It was the Holy Spirit." He found that in answer to prayer, God brought a great deliverance. There are things in the lives of our children that only God can do. Prayer invites him to do the work. Through prayer, fathers invite Jesus to set their children free. I began this message by telling you of a man who came to my house tormented by evil, and his son was being terrorized by evil in their home. So we went over to the home and we prayed through it and took authority in Jesus' name. And later that father came and told me how his son was no longer tormented by those dark spirits. Could be someone hearing this message today has a child who is under the influence of a dark spirit or is being controlled by a stronghold in their mind. There may be aspects of this situation that you can address, but there would be a certain powerlessness to see the needed change happen. I just want to encourage you. There is no power of evil that is greater than the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. Invite him in. Invite him into your child's life. Keep praying. And through prayer, your faith will build and God will work. So I say to you, take heart. The Lord Jesus has authority, even over the strongest evil powers that may have your child in its grip. God bless you.